prayer as we continue to prepare our hearts for His Word. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your truth. We thank You for Your Word that is without error. It is powerful and living. It knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, Father. We thank You for the Spirit that lives within us, Lord, that guides and leads and convicts and empowers us to follow You. Father, I pray this morning that our hearts and minds would be open to listen carefully, Lord, to what You have to say, to celebrate Your wonderful grace that You have displayed in our lives. Father, we give You the glory, and we ask, Lord, that, Lord, You would move in us and guide us and lead us and grow us stronger in our relationship with You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we are going to be in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you somewhere, but grab your Bible, open to Titus. Have you ever had somebody do something for you just out of the blue? Like something undeserving, something you did nothing to earn, something that was done for you purely out of love. That's what God did for us. He did something wonderful on our behalf because He loves us that much. We looked at this last week. Christmas Day is about love and redemption. And in him revealing His love and redemption for the world, He reveals His amazing grace. And so we're going to look at a passage in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, that talks about God's grace and what it means to have His grace. Paul is reminding Titus of the good news of God's grace and how grace should affect our everyday lives. 3 weeks ago, we looked at Genesis 3:15. And in that passage, God revealed His plan to bring the Messiah into the world. It was His plan from the very beginning. Jesus being born was thousands of years in the making. God was working out His plan to restore our relationship with Him. We not only see God's love in this, we see His amazing grace. Christmas is about God's grace being poured out on mankind. His grace is revealed in that little manger. His grace is revealed on that horrible cross. His grace is revealed in that empty tomb. His grace is revealed every single day in our lives. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, I think is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Look at what it says there. Chapter 2 of Titus, verse 11, says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. When Jesus was born as a baby, God's grace appeared. By His grace, He came to us. He came on our behalf to redeem us from sin. And we're talking about unmerited favor here. We did nothing to earn this. He is giving us what we don't deserve. Christmas Day reveals God's grace and mercy on our lives. Grace is a wonderful thing. It's all about that grace. It's wonderful. Something we should all be thankful for every single day. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now in Crete, where Titus was serving, people had abused the grace of God, just as people do today. There's false teaching telling people, you know, it's okay as Christians to live however you want. You can live in sin. We're no longer living under the law. Now, of course, we as followers of Christ are not under the law, but we are under grace. But what they didn't understand is that grace brings an even greater responsibility. Some would take it as a license to sin. Now, there's plenty of grace. Why worry? And we can live however we want. God will forgive me, right? Is that true? Is this what God had in mind? Is this the heart of a true follower of Christ to trample on God's wonderful grace, to sin against the one who's offering us unmerited favor, to take His grace for granted? I don't think Scripture teaches that at all. Here in this passage, God uses Paul to undergird the grace of God with an important doctrinal foundation. He wants us to see how God's grace should affect our lives. Now, as we study these verses, we're going to look at three wonderful ministries of God's grace, and there are many. We're looking at three here, three wonderful things that by God's grace, we as children of God, followers of Christ, have received. These three wonderful things are things that we should celebrate as we celebrate Christmas, and we should remember as we celebrate the birth of Christ. First, by God's grace, followers of Christ are forgiven. Look there at verses, we'll look at verse 11 again and also the first part of verse 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Then in verse 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. Now, the grace of God has appeared. This is why we celebrate Christmas. God came to us, born in the flesh as a baby, in order to make a way for our salvation. As he says in verse 11, bringing salvation for all people. We know that Jesus lived a perfect life without sin in order to be our perfect blood sacrifice, the perfect blood sacrifice for all the sins of the world. On that cross, he took our sin and our punishment on himself, and he died in our place. And we know that 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He overcame sin and death, and he lives to offer all people forgiveness of sin, eternal life. If we believe in him, if we repent of our sin, we turn away from that, and we ask his forgiveness where we're surrendering our lives to him. And when we do that, he forgives all of our sin, and he gives us eternal life. We sin and deserve punishment. He extends grace to us and pays the price for our punishment by his own death. On top of that, he forgives us of our sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see how wonderful God's grace is? Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift, the gift of God. What a wonderful gift that God has graciously given us. Look at verse 14 again. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. By his grace, he died for us and he lives so that we might have forgiveness and holiness of life. When you surrender your life to Christ, you are then cleansed. You're cleansed of all your sin, all your unrighteousness. No matter how big you think your sin was or how bad you think your past is, through faith in Christ, your sin is paid for and forgiven. You have been redeemed from all your iniquity. Which means sin no longer masters your life. God's grace has given us freedom, not just forgiveness, but freedom. In his wonderful grace toward us, he not only forgave our sins, he gives us the power to overcome our sin. Romans 6:6 states this, for we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. He set us free. He's given us power over that. It goes on in chapter 6 of Romans in verse 15. He says, what then? Are we to sin because we're no longer, not under the law any longer, but under grace? He says, by no means. He says, no way. That's not the way it is. He goes on to say in 17 and 18 of chapter 6 of Romans, he says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness, slaves of righteousness. No longer are we slaves to sin, but slaves of righteousness. That's why, see, our position has changed in Christ. That's why in Romans 8:1, just a couple chapters later, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No longer is God's wrath going to be poured out on you for your sin. You've been forgiven. You've been set free. You've been made righteous. We no longer are slaves to sin. We are slaves to righteousness. Now, when you think about Christmas, do you think about God's grace being poured out on your life? Do you have a feeling during Christmas time that you're receiving something that you just don't deserve? See, that's God's love being poured out on us through his grace. He could have left us in our misery. He would have been fully justified in his perfect holiness and our sinfulness just to leave us in this misery, to leave us to be judged by our sin. But he didn't. He didn't. He came on Christmas Day to rescue us, to give us life, to make us whole, to redeem what was lost. The second wonderful ministry of God's grace is by God's grace, followers of Christ are being transformed. Look there at verses 12, and we'll look at 14, the end of 14 or 14 again. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. And in verse 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Not only are we forgiven by God's grace, not only is our position changed from slavery to freedom, the same grace that redeems us also transforms us into the likeness of Christ. This is an amazing thing that God does on our behalf. God does the work of transforming our lives and making us holy. And we see the word training in verse 12 there. This word has the idea of disciplining. We are disciplined by God's grace. We are trained by His grace to be the kind of people that bring Him glory. Now, praise God for His discipline in our lives. We sometimes may not like it, but Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, the Lord disciplines the one He loves, chastises every son in whom He receives. He also says a little later in that passage, He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. The restraint of ungodliness is the main purpose of God's grace. By His grace, He's given us power to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, as He says there in verse 12. By His grace, He's given us the power to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. And He's talking about the here and now, the world we live in right now. This is not a future prediction of our lives in heaven, which we will be perfect then. This is not talking about that. He says right there, in the present age. In the present age. He's talking about the life you live right here on the earth. Yet we all know that it is impossible to be self-controlled in our own strength. It is impossible to live upright lives and not fall to the world, to our worldly passions without the power of Christ in us. God's grace did not only appear to save us from sin, but to transform us into the likeness of Christ. Think about His plan to redeem the world. We've been talking about that this morning, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, taking the gospel to our community. This plan to redeem the world, to take that good news of Jesus Christ, it's to be shared through His holy children to all peoples. We see there in verse 14, to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. See, the gospel only makes sense when shared from those who have been changed by it. What good is the changing power of the gospel without change in the person who receives it? And see, when a person truly believes in Christ and they surrender their life to Him, by God's grace, they're redeemed from sin. And then they begin this lifelong process we call sanctification. Long word. Basically, we're being transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ from one degree to another. One step at a time, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us. So that we, His children, will be purified, as He says here, holy people who are zealous for good works. We become His ambassadors, His witnesses. People see and hear the changing power of the gospel in our lives. Think about that during this time of celebration of Christmas, how much that is needed. By God's grace, He makes all this possible. And we know this. I've been talking about this. He makes this possible by placing the Holy Spirit in us. As I said before, you cannot be self-controlled and upright in your own strength. We need His help. We need His power. It's impossible. When you put your faith in Christ, God puts His seal on you. He comes to live in us, to empower us. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14 says this, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is your guarantee, the guarantee of your inheritance. It's like God saying, when you put your faith in Him, He says, boom, I put my seal on you. I'm coming to live in you. This is your seal. The Holy Spirit is your seal. It's your guarantee that you will be in heaven. And when you breathe your last breath on this earth, you will come to be in my presence. What a promise. What awesome grace. And God, the Holy Spirit, gives us the help and power to change. He transforms our lives from within. The Holy Spirit provides the necessary power, and He brings to bear His fruit in our lives. You know those fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. We know that. Those are not things you can just muster up in your own strength. Those are the fruits. Those are the fruits that the Holy Spirit brings to bear in your life as you live your life, walking with God. We don't live by the law. We live and walk by the Spirit of Almighty God, by His grace. I love Galatians 5:16. It says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh." Which means that it means that by the Spirit we walk according to His Word. We have this new desire that comes from the Spirit to forsake sin and to obey God's commands. We have a new desire to strive toward holiness and not trample on His loving grace. That we not offend our Heavenly Father by our sinful acts. He changes the nature of our hearts. He does that. Our old life is gone. We're a new creation. We're born of the Spirit, all by God's grace. What a wonderful thing that God has done on our behalf. Just think about that for a moment. By God's grace, He has forgiven your sin. Through faith in Christ, if you put your faith in Christ, your sin is gone. When you think about that little baby in the manger, you think about Christ coming for us in order to die for us, so that we can have our sin forgiven. And then by God's grace, He's not done then. He's just beginning. He starts to transform our lives. He puts the power necessary inside of us to transform us from within. And we sometimes fight against that with our flesh, but the power of God is right there to lead and empower and guide by His grace. Third wonderful ministry of God's grace is something we don't deserve. On top of the forgiveness, on top of the transformation He makes in our lives, He also just gives us a reward. Normally we receive a reward for something you've done, something you've accomplished, but not in this case. By God's grace, followers of Christ have a reward. Look there at verse 13. It says, "Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." See, the Christian life has two poles. We look back when God's grace first appeared on Christmas Day, when Jesus came to the earth as a baby, died on the cross, rose from the grave to make salvation available for all people. But then we look forward. We look forward to when God's grace will appear a second time. Jesus will come again, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see it in the Lord's Supper. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, do you remember verse 26 where He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." We are looking forward now to the return of Christ. This is our hope. This is our glory. This is where our hope lies. This is what produces joy and perseverance in our lives to live in this corrupted, evil world, to daily battle our flesh. It reminds me of what Paul says in Romans. Back to Romans again, Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 23. Listen to what he says. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, as we wait eagerly for adoptions as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies." Every hard thing we deal with on this earth, and we have dealt with a lot of hard things over the last couple of years. A lot. Some more than others. But all of us have dealt with hard things. Thought about things maybe we never thought about before. Dealt with sickness on maybe a different level. Didn't understand why. But it was painful. A lot of hard things. And all of it, as hard as it is, or as hard as it was, cannot be placed in the same category of our future glory. It just cannot. These things cannot be compared to the glories of heaven. It cannot be compared to our future reward. He goes on to say that Sin has not only corrupted us, it's also corrupted the whole world, and all of creation longs for the coming of Christ. When we'll be set, they will be set free from its bondage. See, as we celebrate Christmas, do we long for the coming of Christ? Do we long for our hope of heaven? When we celebrate Christmas, are those the things we long for, or do we long for what the world can give us? How many people are caught up in what the world promises to give? Especially during this Christmas celebration, there's so much false hope in the minds of people, the minds of children. The world will never, ever satisfy you. It will only give you like a momentary glimpse of false hope, and then it begins to fade away. It builds up suspense and a false sense of hope only to tear you back down again. That's why come the end of January and February, there's so much depression. Because we put our hope in something that doesn't satisfy. It's not Christ. The Christmas celebration should point us forward to our future hope and glory. And people have all kinds of thoughts about what heaven is going to be like. Right? We try to imagine, and it's hard for us to grasp exactly what heaven will be like. To be in the presence of Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. Most people don't even think about that part. They try to make heaven luxurious, like something material we would want here on earth. To live in a perfect world without pain, without suffering that we face in this life, a world without sin, without Satan, no longer fighting the battle that wages inside of us every day, a perfect world in the presence of God. Oh, what wonderful grace God has given us. When we celebrate Christmas, man, this is what it's about. By God's grace, we've been given a reward. Heaven. We don't know the day that Jesus will return, but we know what he said. Revelation 22, verse 20 says, I am coming soon. That's what he told us. Jesus is coming soon. And that alone should provoke us to live godly lives, to please the one who has given us life, to please the one who has adopted us as his children and given us an inheritance in heaven. On Christmas, we look upon the baby in the manger. But one day, we will see him face to face in all of his glory, in a new perfect body. No more pain, no more suffering, no more COVID, no more sickness. Does that cross your mind as you celebrate Christmas? Do you see how God's grace should affect our daily lives, the joy it should produce in our hearts? When you think about Christmas, do you think about God's grace being revealed? Do we grasp the magnitude of what happened that day when God in all of his glory left the glories of heaven to come in the flesh, to be like one of us, to open a door through his death and resurrection on the cross for salvation, to give us hope, everlasting hope? Does that cross your mind? You think about God's grace being given to you in the way of forgiveness. When you celebrate Christmas, when you look at that little manger, the baby in the manger, does that cross your mind? By God's grace, I've been forgiven. No matter how many times the lies in my mind try to remind me of my past or things that I've done, even as I stumble, there is now no condemnation for me because I am in Christ Jesus. Does that cross your mind? I celebrate Christmas, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. This Christmas, has it crossed your mind that by God's grace you're being transformed into the likeness of Christ? You can look back and you can see the process. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Wow. I remember I used to struggle with that. Somehow, by God's power, through his word, he led me and directed me and empowered me. And I don't struggle with that anymore. He's helped me overcome. He's helped me overcome that sin or that bad habit. It's a process where God empowers us as we walk daily with him in an abiding relationship. Does that cross your mind as you celebrate Christmas? By His grace, He's with me. I'm not left alone. He came to us, Emmanuel, God with us, and He's still here with us every day. Yes, I'm going to struggle. Yes, it's going to be a battle, but God is with me, empowering me to press on, to overcome my fears, to overcome my stress and anxiety. He's right here. Does that cross your mind as you celebrate Christmas? This Christmas, has it crossed your mind, by God's grace you have a future reward? As we think about the baby coming, do we think about the baby who's now our Savior, who was always our Savior, coming again to receive us and take us home? Does that cross your mind? And no matter what you go through in this very hard, short life, Almighty God is in heaven waiting for you. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you, and He's going to come again to take you home. That's what He said. To give you the greatest reward as a gift, eternal life in a perfect world in the presence of God. This is amazing grace. That's amazing grace. If God did not show us His grace, we would forever be destined to an everlasting judgment. We cannot take His grace for granted. We cannot trample on His loving grace. As you celebrate Christmas, meditate on the magnitude of His grace in sending Jesus to the world. The outpouring of that meditation on His grace should be an overflow of thanksgiving and gratefulness. As we're going to talk about on Christmas Eve, it should be worship, right? I mean, worship. Awe-inspired worship because of what He's done out of His loving grace. Our response should be worship. Should pour out in our Christmas celebrations. We should extend grace toward others by sharing this wonderful message of hope and salvation. It should be worship. People should know the God who came in the flesh, who died, who rose, and who's going to come again bringing judgment for those who don't know Him, and a reward of heaven for those who do. What wonderful grace. As the worship team comes, let us reflect on His amazing grace. Let us reflect on His unmerited favor in our lives. For some reason, I don't know why, but I'm not in some remote village in the middle of nowhere where Christ has never been preached. I wasn't born in that people group. I was born in a nation of freedom where I can celebrate Christmas and share with whoever I want about who Christ really is. Think about that unmerited favor as we worship and reflect on His amazing grace. Worship Him with thanksgiving in your heart this morning.